and elders, Bible school students, workers, people that love God, soul winners, intercessors. Lord Jesus, we pray, O Lord, that You will bless each one of them. Cause them to receive Your Word. May there not be a single person offended by the preaching of the Word. In Jesus' name, anoint my mind, O God, and loose my tongue, that I may speak to Your people. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about the power of the church today. I think it's very interesting that we're here in Indianapolis, right in the very heart and center of one of the original places of the revelation of the name of Jesus and the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This area here, I suppose a 100-mile radius of this city, has been one of the most important places in the history of the Jesus name people. And since it was so greatly used of God years ago to help spread this message, why can't it happen again? Why can't it go from right here? Why can't it go from Mid-America Conference? Praise the Lord! There's something I need to know that I forgot to ask for. I want to know how many Bible school students I've got here in this audience. Would you stand if you're a Bible school student? Oh, you're all over here together. Isn't that great? Look at that, folks. Give these wonderful young people a hand. God bless you, and you may be seated. I want to talk to you about the power of the church today. There's many times that I've looked at this scripture in the years past, and it was quite a puzzle to me. But I believe the Lord has revealed to me the meaning of this scripture in the last few years, and I want to talk to you a little bit about it today. When Jesus said that ye shall do greater things, I don't think He was talking about greater quality, that we were going to improve upon the quality of the ministry of Jesus Christ. How could we possibly improve on His teaching methods? He had such a magnificent way of teaching. He could say one sentence, reveal the truth to the honest, and confuse those that were dishonest and those that were not honorable before God. He could make one statement and do it all. Praise the Lord. And the way that He taught. And one time He used a coin. They challenged Him. Should we pay taxes? And He asked for a coin. He said, whose inscription is on this coin? They said, well, Caesar's is on it. He said, well, then render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. Now, one of the most important things that the United Pentecostal Church needs to learn is the meaning of that scripture. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and the things that are unto God that belong to God. We are so terrified to recognize or respect Caesar that we have to apologize if we're going to give somebody a compliment. And when this great revival sweeps across this nation, it's going to be not when you love Jesus more than you do now, but when you love your brother and respect your brother. That's when it's going to happen. That's when it's going to happen. I got off the subject there. I just couldn't help it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How could we do things greater than the Lord? How could we love people more than He did, willing to die on the cross? How could we show more compassion for the multitudes than Jesus did? It would be impossible. Miracles everywhere He went. Healing the sick everywhere He went. All kind of healings took place. Casting out devils. Cast out 5,000 at one single time. Amen. Hallelujah. How could we improve on this? And raising the dead. And preaching the gospel to the poor. I don't think that we can improve on the quality. In fact, this scripture doesn't promise us that we're going to do better things. It doesn't promise us a better quality, but it does say it's going to be greater. Greater. And He's going to do it through you. Guess who is here when the latter rain, we're right in the middle of it, and guess who is in the church? You are in the church. And guess who God's going to use? He's going to use you. You didn't get in this church by accident. God's not so foolish and so powerless that you can just squeak in any way you want to without His plan and without His purpose in your life. Let me tell you, you're in this church at this time for a purpose that is magnificent beyond the description of the world. God has chosen you. You're here because God has chosen you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone said, we're nothing but a bunch of vagabonds. We're just nobody from nowhere, going nowhere. Well, you go ahead and talk about that, about yourself that way if you want to. But would you please quit saying it about me? Because that's not true. I am a son of God. I have been chosen of the Lord. I am full of the Holy Ghost. And if I can believe, God can use me. I want you to know this is the most important people that's ever lived on the face of the earth. Because God's going to do greater things today than He's ever done before. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise the Lord for this. Yes. You know, the truest example of love is when you love somebody enough that you really want them to be better than you are and to accomplish more than you've ever accomplished. And that's the way Jesus felt about us. He loves us so much that He wants us to accomplish more as far as reaching the world is concerned than He did. Praise the Lord. He wants to anoint us. He wants to bless us. Hallelujah. I thrill in pouring myself into young men. I love young preachers, and I love for them to excel. And I have about 25 young men who are full-time in the ministry. Some of them evangelists, some of them pastors, etc. And that call themselves my intercessory team. And they're wonderful young men. And I am pouring myself into them. I don't know how much longer I'm going to last. I've got gray hair like you wouldn't believe. And sometimes it's hard for me to walk up steps. I was with Brother Black today. He run up and down steps and carried my suitcase. Dear Lord, he's 10 years older than me. Just embarrassed me to death that he could do that. I appreciate it, but Lord have mercy. This old body of mine is wearing out. I have to pull myself up steps. Now, you may be able to run up steps, but I can't. But I can lay my hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I can lay my hands on those that need the Holy Ghost, and they will receive it. Hallelujah. I don't know how long this old body is going to last, but I intend to pour myself into young men. I want to pour myself. When I came home from the mission field, there was 8 young men that came and worked with me and that home missions church. God blessed that little church in West Virginia. One of them became the superintendent of Tanzania. One of them became the superintendent of Scotland. One of them became the superintendent of Costa Rica. One of them is now our national home missions director. Another one's the pastor of a charismatic church that runs 4,000 or 5,000 people. I feel sorriest for him because he's compromised. I'm not going to compromise to have revival. I am not going to compromise to have revival. Hallelujah. And another one is with me that I wouldn't want to pastor a church without his help. He has led our congregation in worship for years. And I've got my first time to ever hear him bawl the congregation out. Never one time. I love people like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship is great, isn't it? Brings an atmosphere that the Lord can do His good work. Oh, thank God. And I'm telling you, the reason I had these young people to stand, I want you to know I believe in you. I have faith in you. I expect you to accomplish more than I have ever accomplished. I expect that out of you. I really do. Because I know God can do it. I know God can do it if you'll make yourself available. You'll get your mind right. You've got to get your mind right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think part of the answer is in the quantity that the Lord is going to give us in these last days. There are already more people on the earth speaking with tongues than ever in the history of the world. According to men who are not Pentecostal, there are probably 400 million people speaking with tongues. Someone said they're speaking with tongues of the devil. You be careful, sir, lest you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. I would no more say that than nothing. There's probably some of them are talking in tongues of the devil. There's some of them probably full of the devil. Well, we got a few in the UPC that's full of the devil, too. Now, when people ask Billy Cole to preach, they expect something pretty straight. Is that all right? Hallelujah. I'm about as politically savvy as a mule. Bless your heart. But I do know what God wants to do in these last days. Someone said, Brother Cole, how come so many people get the Holy Ghost everywhere you go? Well, there is an answer to that. God tells me what He's going to do, tells me where He's going to do it, and tells me when He's going to do it, and I show up. Our home missions director was scheduled to preach the meeting in Houston on Pentecost Sunday. I called him. I said, no. You got to go somewhere else. Because that one's mine. That's where the big one's going to be. I got so many IOUs in my pocket on him, he had to go somewhere else. Bless your heart. God's doing it in these last days, folks. God is doing it. If we can just get in the flow of the Spirit. Don't try to make God do anything. I don't ever try to make God do anything. I find out what He wants to do and get with Him. Someone said, make it happen. You can't make it happen. You cannot do it. Get it in your head. You cannot do it. But if you find out what God wants to do and get with His program. Hallelujah. I can't make God do anything. But I can sure cooperate with what He wants to do. Hallelujah. Jesus was talking about the fact that we all, every one of us, once we receive the Holy Ghost, we're going to be ministers in this world. I believe that every saint of God that has the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, you are a minister. Maybe not a preacher. Certainly not a pastor. But you are a minister. I was preaching a camp meeting down in South Carolina, and we had about 2,500 people there, I guess. four of the people that I pastor showed up in that camp meeting on their holiday. And I was so flattered that people I preach to all the time drove so far to be in that camp meeting with me. And I wanted to spend the evening with them, but it was a Thursday night. And they were having a banquet for the ministers after church and their wives. And of course, I knew they meant preachers. I knew that. And I tried to figure out, I had to say a little something at the meeting, so I had to be there. And I was trying to figure out some way to get these four precious saints into that banquet. None of them had ever preached a single sermon in their life. But they were full of the Holy Ghost. And the superintendent came to me, Brother Clayton, and said, "Brother Cole, are any of these people ministers?" I said, "Oh, yes, all four of them." If you'd asked me if they were preachers, I'd have had to say no. But he asked me if they were ministers. Let me tell you something. If you're not a minister, you're missing God's will for your life. If you got the Holy Ghost, you need to be ministering to somebody, somewhere, somehow. Hallelujah. That's right. I believe every one of them. Folks, I want to emphasize that God is with the United Pentecostal Church International. Brother Cole, I know about this problem and that problem. You may know about a few problems, but let me tell you, overall, God has anointed us. God has blessed us. God has chosen us. And multitudes are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you need to get in on it. Every one of you. Read the book of the Acts of the Apostles. I'm not criticizing the apostles. It takes somebody pretty stupid to do that. And I'm not criticizing the apostles or the early church, but read your Bible. Read the Acts of the Apostles. How many times did they have 3,000 get the Holy Ghost in one single day? One single time! The United Pentecostal Church in the last 4 years has had it to happen 10 times! Well, you sure are a nonchalant bunch. Do you not know just what I just said? 10 times that God has filled. What does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. We're not the scum of the earth. We are the chosen people of God. God has anointed us. God has chosen us. Thank you, Anthony. God has blessed us. God has honored us. Let us wake up tonight. Everybody say, wake up. Turn to your neighbor and look at him and say, wake up. Don't you know what God's doing today? Let's give him a great big hand praise right now. Hey. Hallelujah. Jesus ministered in one tiny little nation. There's probably a little over 200 million people in the whole world in those days. He ministered in Jerusalem, one of the five largest cities in the world, which only happened to be about 50,000 people. And he ministered in one tiny little nation, about 144 miles by 44 miles, something like that. And on the day of Pentecost, there wasn't one human being there that wasn't of the Galilean sect. There wasn't nobody there from Samaria. There wasn't anybody there from Nazareth. Are not all these which speak Galileans? One little ethnic group within one tiny little nation on the day of Pentecost. I'm not criticizing them. I'm trying to help you to understand what God's doing for you. I'm trying to help you to understand what God is doing today. Hallelujah. Isn't it great what the Lord is doing among us? Oh, praise the Lord. I must be cautious. I don't want to cut into Brother Urshan's time. Well, thank you, Elder, but I do not want to take 1 second of your time. You are so precious, and I know that you have a message from God. But let me say just a few things to you. Are we going to keep this revival going? Are we going to keep this revival going? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to have to do. If you keep this revival going, revival is going to have to be more important than your feelings. Because in times past, every time God started blessing, we had a few influential people get mad at each other and start a great big fuss among us, and it ends up at the general conference on the floor, knocking down, dragging out, and the revival is over. I'm telling you, if somebody hurts you, you need to take it with your grit of your teeth and behave yourself, calm yourself down, and God will avenge you. I said, God will avenge you. All we have to do to stop this revival is start a fuss over some stupid issue. I'm going to behave myself and let God avenge me. God wants us to respect each other. Oh, we love each other. We love each other. There's no problem with us loving each other. But we sure don't like each other sometimes. And who wants to join a church that everybody is so no good and rotten? Can you say amen? Amen. If there was ever a time that you need to compliment and praise your pastor, it is today. If there was ever a time that you preachers need to compliment and praise each other, it is today. If there was ever a time that you need to respect your officials, it's today. Whether they're district or national, doesn't make any difference. I heard a young preacher the other day say, Urshan. I said, what? He said, Urshan. I said, what did you say? Who are you talking about? Oh, I'm sorry. Brother Urshan, I said, thank you. Thank you. Don't you never say that in my presence. Well, he's just a man. That doesn't make any difference. God has put him where he's at. God's put him where he's at. And if there's ever a time that we need to respect each other and hold each other's hands up, it's right now. Someone says, we'll puff them up. We'll get them exalted if we honor them. Well, that's probably true for a few. There's always some that get drunk when people praise them, you know. They get drunk on it, you know, and they get stupid because of the praise. You must understand that when men respect you, it's so that you can do your job. Not so that you can get drunk on what they're saying. It's so that you can do your job. You can't get up in a pulpit in an audience like this and accomplish anything unless somebody respects you. Praise the Lord. But now if I go get drunk on what Brother Mooney has said tonight, if I go shack up with some woman, that isn't Brother Mooney's fault. That's my fault. God has commissioned him to introduce me in such a way that I can do my job. And if I fall, it's not the man's fault that introduced me. If somebody praises me and I fail, it's not their fault. It is my fault. But if I get in the pulpit and I can't perform because of your stupid attitude towards me, then that is your fault. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, I know I've been preaching this for years because I believe it. You may have heard me say some of these things before. Well, not accidentally, you're here to hear it again. Hallelujah, amen, glory to God. Praise the Lord. If there was ever a time that we need to be true apostolics, it is today. All of this pretending, all of this hypocrisy. If you can't feel God in the song service, and if you can't feel God in the preaching, and if you can't feel God in the altar service, don't shimmy and shake while you're singing your special song. Because if you do, you're a hypocrite. I'm sick and tired of hypocrites. We all know what to do. We all know just how to wave our right hand and all this stuff. I'm telling you, well, you don't have to run around the church. I couldn't run around the church if my life depended on it. I want to dance so bad that I've got down in my sanctuary with no one else there and practice. And I just can't dance. I tell my feet to do something and they do something else. But I tell you what, I can love God and I can love the church. I can love the people of God. I can be sincere. I can be honest. I can be straightforward. I can quit my lying. God's not going to bless anything less. And another thing that's going to keep the windows of heaven open is our giving. God is not going to bless a stingy church. I said, God is not going to bless a stingy church. Well, I wonder what the preacher's doing with the money. It doesn't make any difference what the preacher's done with it. You give it and God will bless you. I said, God will bless you if you give. And God will hold him accountable for what he does. And we've got to learn to sow the seed. You cannot imagine. I'm quit doing it. I just don't have enough strength left of going to churches for two nights with a little bit of strength I've got left. And nobody in town knows we're having a revival. Yeah. I'm sick and tired of it. We need to work a little bit. We need to harden. The reason 167 got the Holy Ghost in one night in Illinois is because somebody planted the harvest. Somebody got them there. You can run a combine down the beach, but you're not going to get any wheat. All you're going to get is a bunch of sand in your wheels. And we have got to prepare. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is this good preaching? We must understand that we're in the middle of the latter rain. The latter rain is not about to begin. We're in the middle of it. Now, there's a few of us that are so paranoid because of things that has happened in times past. And we need to be concerned about people that are phony. There's nobody going to hurt us more than phony apostolic people. Anybody that gets in the pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord, and he tells something that somebody told him out in the hall, he is a liar and a false prophet and bringing damnation to the work of God. But I tell you, we can be so concerned about a person like that that the real cannot perform. I want the gifts of the Spirit in the church. I want the gifts of the Spirit in the church. I want God to perform miracles. Hallelujah. And we have got to give place for it. I don't care if 50 years ago somebody did make a false prophecy to you. Guess what? There's a few that's prophesying correctly today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Maybe this is not what you wanted. But this is what I always do. Hallelujah. God is performing great things among us today, folks. There's some things that can happen to us. Terrify us when you're starting. Whenever you grasp a hold of faith and you make an effort to do apostolic work, there will be things that will happen that will discourage you. But don't let it discourage you. One of the most important things is the lack of information, the lack of training. You need to be trained in the work of God. And if you're new in it, don't be so ashamed to ask somebody to help you. Say, show me. Show me how to do it. Praise the Lord. And then listen. I was in Ethiopia and had some young men with me, precious young men, that are so zealous. Got there on Friday night. I didn't feel led of the Holy Ghost to go to the Friday night service. Well, they was all chomping into bits and wanting to go. And was going to go. In spite of the fact that they knew I didn't want them to. One of them finally said, why don't you want us to go? I said, because you're inexperienced and you go over there and do something stupid and we won't be able to do nothing tomorrow. Oh, Brother Cole, did you talk like that? Yeah, I talk like that. And I know you don't like it. But it's about time we grow up. It's about time we stop being babies. Most of us are nothing but a bunch of babies that if somebody says a little something cross to you, you want to blow the roof off of the place. They sit down, behave themselves, and we had 78,000 people receive the Holy Ghost the next day. Praise the Lord. No man preaches in my pulpit that's an elder of the church that I pastor unless he's willing to let me teach him. I don't think an inexperienced young man has the right to abuse a congregation without experience. I have 13 preaching elders in the church I pastor. All of them pretty good. Three of them are full-time. That I critique every message that they preach. And the first minute their spirit crosses with me because I'm talking to them, that's the last they're going to preach for a mighty long time. Some people think just as soon as they get the Holy Ghost, feel a little call to preach, that they know everything. One of the important things we need to learn is that we don't know everything. If there are elders, there's got to be youngers. And sometimes our youngers are just a bag of smart alecks. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, God's not going to use a bunch of smart alecks. But it's somebody that will submit themselves to a man of God or a woman of God. And listen to them and prepare themselves. God will anoint them. God will use them. Can you say praise the Lord? Someone said, Brother Cole, I don't like your preaching very good. Well, you're the one that needs it the most.
The lack of experience will hinder you. There's only one way to get experience, and that's to give it a try. And if you're a true apostolic, you've got a reverse gear in your motive. Some people think if they're apostolic, that every single thing they think and do and say is right straight from the throne. That is a bunch of baloney. I've got lots of experience. I've been preaching for 40 years. I've seen hundreds of thousands of people receive the Holy Ghost. But I've got enough sense to know that I can still make a major mistake. And if I'm so bullheaded and so stupid that I'm going to bulldoze my way through when I make a mistake, then God will have to stop blessing me. I have got to be able to shove my motor and gears into reverse and say, "Hey, I missed it. Please forgive me." And back up. I said, back up. That may not sound like apostolic preaching, but it's the most apostolic thing you'll ever hear in your life. I don't have any of you standing on your heads out there, but I'm giving you some information that will help us in these last days. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's one young man in my intercessory team that I wouldn't take $1 million for. He is so precious, but he and I clash like two tractor-trailer trucks. And he stared at me for 15 minutes and never blinked an eye. I made him angry. I challenged him. And he said, "Why don't you want me to go with you? I said, "Because you're a smart aleck." I said, "I tested you to find out if you was a smart aleck or not. And you're a smart aleck." He said, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "Stop staring at me.